message hard, because Time Magazine is no friend to grace, my friends. The feature article is called Is Hell Dead? Rogue Pastor Rob Bell's argument about salvation and judgment has evangelicals in a fury, and a young generation rethinking Jesus. Oh, they've already rethought him. The deception is radical. We just don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible anymore. And that belief is being changed not just by liberal and godless university professors, but by increasingly liberal and emerging church kinds of pastors who are pandering to the self-interests of their young flocks. According to this article from Time Magazine, particularly galling to conservative Christian critics is that the book Love Wins by Rob Bell is not an attack from outside the walls of the evangelical city, but a mutiny from within. A rebellion led by a charismatic, popular, and savvy pastor with a following of 7,000 in his church. Bell said, I have long wondered if there is a massive shift coming in what it means to be a Christian. Something new is in the air. Really? Did God die? Is God undergoing a makeover? Did he decide to change his message to correspond to the fickle whims of the American public? Is he a marketing genius, deciding to change the message of the master to bow to the shrine of the market? Jesus, there's no escaping the fact that Jesus speaks in the Bible of a hell for the condemned. Time Magazine admits it. Elsewhere in the New Testament, writers, especially Paul and John, tell of a fiery pit in which the damned will spend eternity. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, Jesus said in the book of Matthew. And in Mark, he speaks of the unquenchable fire. The book of Revelation paints a vivid picture of the lake of fire and the dismissal of the damned from the presence of God to a place where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. But Rob Bell says no, God is too loving for that. Now, if there's no hell, which is basically what Rob Bell is teaching in an indirect way, then there must not be a heaven, because heaven is only contradistinction from hell. No need for heaven if there's no hell. So really, heaven is, well, heaven on earth. And it's all about now. There's no future. There's no eternity. It's all about now. You might as well just have the me generation. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let's just have a ball. You see, there are consequences to changing the theology. There are consequences to reimagining God. There are consequences to reassessing. World Magazine, speaking of this very issue called liberal love, says this, a marketing coup. Get a small book on eternal destiny to the top of bestseller lists by sending out heretically sounding promotional materials that garner condemnation. The winner, Rob Bell, the famously hip 40-year-old founder of Mars Hill Bible Church in Michigan, and his publisher, Rupert Murdoch, owned HarperCollins, that dubs Bell the most vibrant central religious figure of the millennial generation. Bell's book, Love Wins, argues that a good and loving God could not condemn people permanently to hell because of the orthodox conception of hell. Many see the Christian message as an endless list of absurdities and inconsistencies. The truly good news, he says, is that love wins. This message coming from a pastor dubbed by Time a singular rock star in the church world. The central theological criticism was that Bell promotes universalism, the view that all mankind will ultimately be redeemed, or so dilutes Christian teachings on salvation and the afterlife that what remains is no longer Christian at all. No wonder the New York Times and CNN gave Bell's book favorable publicity. Bell says he's not a universalist, He says Christ alone is the means of salvation or redemption, but that people of all faiths and those who reject Christ in this life will have abundant after-death opportunity to receive forgiveness and enjoy new heaven and new earth. So he suggests that everyone, well, nearly everyone, will eventually be saved. This is the move. It's not that God is dead, it's that we've just reimagined God. We've revamped Him. We've remodeled Him. We have reconstructed Him according to our own image. That's what Time magazine told us back on April 5th, 1993. Americans flooding back to church. Church would never again be the same. Why? Because they're Americans are creating a custom-made God, one made in their own image. And it appears now that even our pastors, even so-called evangelical pastors, have now put their shoulder to the plow to create and recreate and recreate again a custom-made God to conform to the ever-morphing expectations of a fickle American public. And get a load of this. Scientific American. This is the cover story, friends. Quantum gaps in Big Bang theory. Why our best explanation of how the universe evolved must be fixed or replaced. Do you realize the significance of this? Scientists admitting now, even though they continue to claim the universe evolved, they got it all wrong. They don't know how it's happened, and all their theories have to be thrown out the window because they're just not right. Scientific American. God is the creator, friends. He knows the beginning from the end, and He also established heaven and hell. It's time to seek the Lord while He may be found. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you. Be a blessing. And let's press on in Him.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gift.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, the illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Chapman, who publishes the International Forecaster, and we're going to be talking about the exciting things that are happening. You know, we've been talking for a long time about the time when gold and silver were really going to begin to run up and run up very rapidly. Well, silver must be up, $4 or $5 in the last couple of weeks, and gold hit pretty close to $1,500, I think $1,495 today. And certainly Standard & Poor's talking about having to grade down the debt of the United States. In other words, saying that our debt is really not a AAA date, that we may not suddenly repay the money, or even they don't necessarily talk about it, but everybody with half an ounce of sense knows we have inflation, the value of the dollar is declining. We see inflation sweeping throughout much of the rest of the world with food riots because of the rising price of food all throughout the Middle East. And but Ben Bernanke and the men, of course, who tell Ben Bernanke what to say, because he is simply, in my estimation, a tool of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Ben Bernanke and the people who are so smart they can control our entire economy say there is no serious inflation. I mean, are you going to believe your lying eyes that the price of gasoline and fuel and cotton goods and clothing is going up? Are you going to believe what I tell you? I mean, after all, we run this country, and we assure you there is no inflation because we make up the statistics. And believe me, people are always making up statistics. And most of the statistics you read are simply made up to conceal the truth. Bob Chapman, tell us what's going on in the world today.
Well, we had a pretty exciting day in the markets. We saw Dow Jones, the industrial average, off about 150 points, where it'd been off about 250 points earlier. And S&P and NASDAQ were also up down considerably. And that was mainly caused, from what I could see, the opinion by Standard & Poor's that the outlook for the American economy was negative, and that they may very well lower their credit rating. And that certainly didn't go over too well. You know, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, control about 80%, 85% of the grading of companies. And it's like a game of extortion. They do a write-up in your company, and they bring it to you, and they tell you, you better use this, you got a problem. And they don't put it quite that way, but that's what it amounts to. And so they use these tactics, and they were very instrumental in the fraud that was perpetrated on buyers of the
collateralized debt obligations,
mortgage-backed
securities, right? They were instrumental in creating this whole mess. They were already paid off to do it, too, and that's what the latest Senate report from Dr. Carl, Senator Levin, and Tom Coburn said. But go ahead.
That's right. And so, coming from them, I think it is very, very important. And I projected about a year and a half ago that this August would be the time when the U.S. might have a lower credit rating.
Well, Bob Chapman's our guest, and he was just saying that he wrote about a year ago that by August of this year, August of 2011, we'd have a lower credit rating. Looks like this is going to.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called immune support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
And you put up your islands, and you let us have certainly a control of certainly most of what's going on in Greece, and your anything that you have that has any value, and we'll lend you money. Well, that doesn't look very good for Greece, because that's going to mean that Greece is going to be paying off all these debts, all these bonds, all this money they borrowed from banks who never should have lent them money because they knew there was no way it was going to be paid back. And what it's talking about is simply the Greek people will be impoverished for 50 years if they let the banks have control of their islands and of their utilities and of their railways. But that's what the banks are demanding. You know, you pay your money up or we'll lend you more money, but we want everything you have as security. Are the Greek people going to go along with that?
Well, I don't think so. First of all, Mr. Papandreou's party, it's George's Papandreou, and his father, incidentally, Andrus, was the president during the 1980s, and he was a Marxist. Mr. Papandreou, George, is a member of the Bilderberger Group and an Illuminist. So he doesn't have the happiness and health of the Greek people in mind. What he has in mind is allowing these assets to be bought up by the very wealthy Illuminists in Europe. And so Mr. Stamos, who is head of the other party, he and people in his party from the House of Representatives, we'll call it, they're out telling everybody all over the country exactly what these people are up to. And if they don't, Greece does not go along with the program, well, they're not going to get any money. And if they don't get any money, they go bankrupt. And that means all of the debt will have to be expunged. And they'll have to get rid of the euro, and they'll also have to bring back the drachma. They'll have to make it inexpensive so that they can compete. I think it's a very good thing for Greece under the circumstances.
Well, basically, of course, it would get them out from under the control of the internationalists, who basically want the... They want the European Union. This is what it's all about. They want the world government. They want to take away the people's freedom. But, of course, the fact that the banks are owed all this money, there's no way to pay the banks. Hopefully the Greek people will say, we're not going to go along with this. We're not going to pay your debts. You shouldn't let the money to our government. We didn't ask for the money. You arranged it with your buddies in our government. Now you want to take away our islands. You want to take away our utilities. You want to take away our property. We're just not going to pay you. And if that were to happen, it would challenge the whole structure of this whole phony death system that is certainly draining the very lifeblood of the people of this world. Would that be a fair estimate?
It sure is. And I, for the last year on radio and television and in interviews with the major newspapers, I told the great people exactly what you just said. They made the loans from money that they created out of thin air. They shouldn't have made them. They're 80% responsible. And here they are trying to denude the Greek people of centuries of their existence and culture. No. And they, and also among that group is all the mineral resources and is oil off the coast of Greece. And they know that. And so I don't think it'll get passed. Papandreou has a shortage of 20 people who the other party has 20 people more. And his, even in his own party, he's going to get a lot of congressmen who are not going to vote for that. They want to stay in office. And Greece is a very small country, and lots of people know each other. And news travels very fast. And we kind of got an inside look at that because we have actually four very connected people who could give us, you know, all the information that you're not getting in the newspapers. That's what's coming through now. And I would expect that that move will be defeated, and then Papandreou will have to call an election, which he'll lose.
Well,
and that means that...
No, go right ahead.
And that means that there'll be a new government, probably Mr. Stamos's party. But it shows you how brazen these people are, how arrogant. I mean, give us your whole country, and we'll give you the money.
Well, I think it's even more interesting up there in Iceland, where the people now are given a choice of whether or not they would indebt themselves to pay back all the money that had been lent to the British and the Irish investors. But it happened to Iceland, as the bank was offering it, or they were making all sorts of loans all over the world, and of course, where they get enough money to capitalize it. They borrowed a lot of money from the people in Great Britain and people in Ireland. They were paying 10 or 12% interest, and the people in Great Britain and Ireland, being greedy, decided, oh, well, we'll invest in Ireland, we'll make all that money. Well, of course, when things turned bad, why, the Irish banks didn't have any money, so the British government and the Irish government paid off their investors who'd invested in the Bank of Ireland, of Iceland. Now they want the people of Ireland to pay that money back, and the people of Iceland said, why should we pay the money back? That was a crooks in our banks that did this. Why should we be stuck paying back the people, the greedy people in England and the greedy people in Ireland who came over here to get their 12% interest? They were taking the chance. And then the fact that they were reimbursed by the English government, the Irish government, that's not our business. When they voted just this last week not to pay this money to bail the banks out, and what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
Right. What's going to happen?
Well, I think actually it's Holland and England. And I think that they will have to go to the international court, and they know they're going to lose. They're just trying to extort 300,000 people, and it's not going to work. And they've lost the money, they being the citizens who deposited in the banks that were run by crooks. Because they happen to come from Iceland and were crooks, doesn't make them any different than any other kind of crooks. And you're going to see a lot more of this as time goes on. But they're standing up to England and Holland. It was very important. And that's one of the things I didn't discuss when I was on the radio last week in Holland, in Amsterdam. But I think what is going to happen is right at this moment, and this is a miracle, Greece is going to default, and Ireland and Portugal will follow. And the Spanish problem is $1 trillion. It's a big, big problem. And the Italian problem is more than $1 trillion. And so I think there's a good chance all of them could go under. And that means that they'd all break away from the euro, and there would be four or five countries left in the Europe of any consequence. They brought some new countries in, three or four of them here, not too long ago, but they're smaller countries. And so I think the disruption would probably bring an end to the reign of the euro, and the Germans would be very happy about that, because they never wanted to join it. They were forced into it by their government, incidentally. And now what they have is an intractable position. People in Germany don't even want to be in the European Union. They just want to be their own country and do what they can do for their own country. And so there's the social, cultural, financial and economic problem in Europe. And if, and I think they will, Greece goes under, many will follow. And that should start the beginning of hyperinflation in Europe, because the different countries will be in transition from being in the Eurozone and then back on their own. And there's going to be a lot of consternation. I think countries like Greek and Ireland, Portugal, they don't have very much gold. And I don't think they're going to trade it for a debt. And they really got not very much to fall back on, let's put it that way.
Well, because the major drive towards the European Union has always come from the American State Department. The internationalists here have been using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government and force the people there in Europe into this European Union, a stepping stone to world government. The people of Europe don't want it. They've never wanted it, but people throughout the world want to be free. It is simply that the elite in America, the Brotherhood of Darkness, has this dream of a world government, and they're going to rule everything and control everything, and they're using the financial and military power of the United States to force Europe and the rest of the world into this world government, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Well, Bob, you go right ahead, and Sydney, we'll take calls here anytime. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Bob.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Serve is actually by various devious mechanisms buying most of the treasury bonds themselves, pretending it's coming from foreign buyers, or certainly somebody in the Cayman Islands is buying a lot of our bonds, or the foreign central banks are borrowing our bonds, but apparently we're giving them the money to buy the bonds with, because everybody's looking at the dollar and saying, look, when we get those bonds paid back, they're not going to be worth much of anything. The dollar's going to depreciate. Bob's talking 14% inflation this year, at the end of this year, maybe 20, 25% inflation next year. That's 2012. And the year after that, if suddenly we continue this quantitative easing, continue simply buying our own bonds and turning out a couple of $1 trillion a year to buy the massive American debt he's talking about, 40-50% inflation, at that point the whole house of cards starts coming down. Well, let's go to George, who's calling us from Cincinnati, Ohio. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. Hi, George. You have a question for Bob.
I have two, in fact, Dr. Stan. God bless you, everybody. Good evening. One question I have. What is the price today of the tri-ounce, the silver tri-ounce, and any comment on the Latin American economy? That will be all.
Well, what is the tri-ounce? I don't know what the tri-ounce is. Could you, Bob, do you know what the tri-ounce is?
Well, that's how they measure gold.
Oh, I see. Okay, fine.
And, you know, I just had all of those statistics, and I put them away. I'll have to go and find them again here.
Well, I think it was, Kitco was 1494, 1496, somewhere in there.
Well, I never use Kitco because their quotes are always bad. And that's all day long. And it's been that way for years. And don't ask me why, but that's the way it is. The spot month in gold was up $7. The outside month was, I got the wrong one here, was up like 10:30 or something like that. And so the after spot trading in the most used months for trading were considerably higher. I think the spot market in silver was up around 34 cents, and the other market in May. Other market in May was up about 88 cents. And so that was a substantial difference. And so the market gets stronger. What happened today was the market was soft going into the opening, and then the news came out on S&P, negative report on the U.S. economy. Gold up 9:30, silver was up like 70 cents, and the government swooped in, and you could tell it's them. You know, that's just like being in a China shop. And I do have the prices here. And they knocked it down below even, both silver and gold. They turned around and went right back up again. So the government was not successful in suppressing. Gold was up $11.30 in the June month, $7 in the spot month. And the outside month, which is May, in silver, was up 88 cents at 43.45. And that's all in spite of the massive manipulation by the government, which ran the dollar up, ran other commodities down. They hit oil at one time, was off $3, and it ended up today off 253 at 107.12.
Well, I think there is no question at all. We're going to be in an inflationary spiral, George. It's we're in for a very, very difficult time. This is going to destroy the life savings of most of the people listening to this program who have not positioned themselves. Anything else you want to ask, George, before we let you go?
Put your trust in the Lord. He will never.
Amen to that. You won't get any argument there at all. God bless you. Thanks so much. And let's go to John, who's calling from Spokane, with a question for Bob. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we'll get to John in just a moment. But if you have a question, give us a call. These are the times we've been warning you about for a long time, and they're coming to pass.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
And so, but all of these countries are in trouble because there's nothing behind the currency. It is all manipulated. But when you're talking about Europe, you're talking about Greece, you're talking about Italy, you're talking about Spain. And these countries have a lot more inflationary pressure on them simply because they are bankrupt, rather than Germany, which is running a fairly tight ship. So anything else you want to know, John?
So the euro currency has no gold backing. I was under the impression that it had gold backing, so that's not true?
Well, first of all, we didn't talk about that. And secondly, it was 11 years ago, and the compromise was 15% gold backing. Unfortunately, during that period of time since then, that is the formation of the Eurozone, they have been a seller of gold. We don't know how much they sold because they don't want to tell us. It's my estimate they have about 5% left as backing. But that's thoroughly inadequate.
And of course, what they've been doing, John, is they've been selling it, and you can be sure that some very, very wealthy people have been buying up that gold and have it all stored, as I think, of course, as basis of the new currency when they move to rule the world. And, you know, the old golden rule is he who has the gold rules. Anything else before we let you go, John?
Well, obviously, the monopoly manipulators are continuing their political theater. So I really appreciate the program, and I will continue listening.
Please do. And there was a lady, she used to work for the Rockefellers. Bob, you probably remember the story better than I do. And it was a few years ago she made a remark somehow. The Rockefellers were accumulating large amounts of gold. They were actively buying gold. And the next thing, this woman just accidentally stepped out of an upper story window and fell to her death. You remember that story, Bob?
Yeah, I do. And it wasn't only her. Back in 1946, we had the strange death of James Forrestal, who was the Secretary of the Treasury previously. And he fell out of a window.
Right.
12th story, if I remember correctly. This is a favorite way of getting rid of people. And that and other means of suiciding. And so, yeah, those things happen all the time.
And I think that was at Bethesda, Maryland, back when somebody suggested that Richard Nixon go into the hospital for a checkup. Go to Bethesda. He said, I'm not going to Bethesda. Hey, you know what had happened to Joe McCarthy there. He went in perfectly healthy, and a week later, he died of fulminant hepatitis. I actually knew the doctor who did the exam on him when Joe McCarthy went in. I think it was on a Monday, very, very healthy, and at the end of that week, he was dead. Okay, John, thanks for calling. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and of course, our guest, Bob Chapman, and before we go on, Bob, before anybody else calls in at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster?
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, runs around 40 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out to those who are not on the Internet twice a month. And we like to think that everything that is that you need to know is in that publication every week. The way to get a free introductory copy is to go to the International Forecaster.com, the International FORECASTER.com. You can also go to www.intforecaster.com. That's intforecaster.com. For those of you who would like us to answer a question, or if you would like a free copy of either, or if you'd like our latest gold and silver share recommendations, email us at Bob, B-O-B, at intforecaster.com. That's Bob at intforecaster.com. And for those of you who would like to call toll-free, that number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, if you have a question for Bob, give us a call. Our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And basically, of course, Barack Obama has said, we're going to balance the budget. We're going to start taxing the rich, and we're going to tax the rich, and that's how we're going to balance the budget. No, we're going to make some cuts here, there, and elsewhere. But nobody's ever said, how was it that Barack Obama was actually able to raise more money for his reelection bid than any other candidate in the history of our nation? Almost half a billion dollars he raised. Where did the money come from? It came from the big banks. It came from the very, from George Soros. It came from the very rich. Who is his new chief of staff? His name is William Daley. He comes from J.P. Morgan, J.P. Morgan Chase Company. And this is all rhetoric. I mean, they're not going to tax the rich. In fact, Barack Obama has not said anything at all about the fact that one of the largest taxes on any individual is the Social Security and Medicare tax. That's 15% of the salary the individual puts in. About 7.5%, the employer puts in that equal amount of money. If they weren't taken away, the individual would get 15% more in income. But when you get to be over $100,000, you make over $100,000 in income, you don't have to pay your Social Security or Medicare taxes. Barack Obama wants to tax the rich. Why isn't he talking about that? Because it's all fall-to-all, ladies and gentlemen. It's all fall-to-all. This whole idea of taxing the rich, how they sold us on the income tax back in 1913, that's how they got the alternative minimum tax through. It's all about taxing the rich. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about taxing the middle class and destroying them. And the very rich have other means of getting away from paying their taxes. They create foundations. They do all sorts of things to put their money into. But the very rich, of course, at least the smart people are rich. The people who elected Barack Obama, the people who control Barack Obama, certainly, they're not paying the taxes. In fact, Warren Buffett commented that his secretary pays more taxes than he does, and he just doesn't think it's fair. But he hasn't volunteered to give all that money to government. Anyway, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Bob, certainly the housing market doesn't look very good. The economy doesn't look very good. They keep telling us it's getting better. But, you know, I mean, you look at the figures, and certainly the employment figures are not that good. And even though they juggle the employment figures, if you look at the shallow statistics from John Williams, why are you look at the U6 unemployment, which is the real figure of unemployment, it's getting certainly not improving, is it?
No. Well, actually, it has in the last few months. It's gone from 20 1/8% to 19 7/8%. So it has improved slightly. And I think we're looking at overall unemployment after you deduct the birth-death ratio, that's come down from 20 5/8% to about 20%. So it's gotten a little bit better, but I don't think that's going to continue. We're still experiencing and will continue to be experiencing these problems generated by layoffs from municipal workers. And that's going to lay off a lot of people. They make up 16% of the total employment in the country. And so they're going to have to cut because some of them are bankrupt. Maybe 100 or 200 or 300 of them may go bankrupt.
You're talking about municipalities, cities, counties, things like that. Right, go ahead.
And then, of course, if they do that, they'll have to default on their debt, which means nobody will get anything. All the pensions from the workers that work for municipalities for 20 or 30 years, they're not going to get anything. I mean, maybe they can make some kind of a deal to give them 30 or 40 cents on the dollar. But other than that, they probably won't get paid. And it's already started. It was in Arkansas, Alabama, someplace in the south. A city went under, and they can't pay. And then there's one in California. Is it Merced?
I'm not sure which one is. I know there are a lot of the places up here. I know Vallejo had gone bankrupt, but I think
that's the one.
Right.
Vallejo. Yeah,
they certainly seem to be working something out, so that but there is going to be a considerable cut in the pensions, but. We've got an awful lot of cities here in California. I think we've got, of the 10 cities in most trouble here in the entire nation, I think 3 or 4 of them are right here in California, where we have almost 12.5% unemployment, thanks to the fact that, of course, they've cut off the agriculture in the Central Valley of California, and more companies are moving out of certainly Silicon Valley. eBay just opened up a big plant. But of course, there's a Silicon Valley company, but they opened up the campus, business there, and I think it was Austin, Texas, somewhere in Texas. So basically, more and more of the companies are moving out of the state because it's just so expensive to operate here, and all the cap and carbon legislation they're putting in, and the high state income tax. People want to move to a tax where a state where you don't have to pay a big high state income tax.
Well, and you're right. That's been going on for a long time. People going to Florida and New Hampshire and Texas, Nevada. Of course, Nevada, unfortunately for those people, is a shambles, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And they are a long way from hitting the bottom. Wait till the casinos' profits start to dry up in Asia, because that's really what's carrying them. And they're going to have some real trouble. Crime has gone ballistic in Las Vegas. And it's understandable. You know, you get lots and lots of people out of work, and some people are not strong enough to resist doing things like that.
All right, well, let's go to Tony, who's calling us from San Jose. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But the housing market certainly is not doing very well. Unemployment is a little bit better, but corporations are still leaving the United States. And basically, we have a debt that is totally unmanageable. And this is one of the biggest things. There is no way we could ever possibly pay off all the debt that we have. I mean, they talk about a $14.03 trillion debt. But if you use the generally accepted accounting techniques that every corporation is required to use, government doesn't do that, but if you use the GAAT method of accounting, why we would be talking of a federal debt somewhere between $100 and $120 trillion. Tony, from calling from San Jose, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Stan, Bob. I have a question on silver and one on gold. And I kind of think they might sort of be together, but my question on silver is that what's going on with the backwardation as far as in the futures contracts? And my question on the gold was going to be about this purchase from the University of Texas that just announced that they're asking for delivery of about 665,000 ounces of gold, about $1 billion, and they want to take delivery. I'm just kind of wondering if they're going to take delivery into their own warehouse or maybe put in one of J.P. Morgan's warehouse to take a paper receipt.
Bob, do you know anything at all about that? I hadn't heard that.
Well, everything he says is true, and they are going to have the gold stored in the warehouse somewhere in the east, and I don't know any more about that end of it. I do know that his figures are correct. On the
now, is this a university, or who's going to take delivery on $1 billion worth of gold?
University Retirement Fund.
Really? Okay, fine.
That's probably the best
investment they could make, really.
Well, they've done. They made the move a year and a half ago. And they were advised by their advisors on their board to go and get the gold because they may never get delivery. And why wouldn't they get delivery? Because the people who have sold them gold may not have any. I rather think that the gold may be coming from futures contracts. And there's a good chance that they'll renege on that and say you got to take cash. You know, the same thing is true in the silver market.
But don't they going to have to pay a premium if they pay them cash?
No.
They won't have to pay them a 25 or 50% premium for not taking delivery?
No, because that occurs on the COMEX and the LBMA.
Okay.
I believe that they brought their gold through the exchange-traded fund, GLD. Now, I'm guessing as I remember it, because that was about a year and a half ago, so they bought gold substantially cheaper. And, of course, now they want their gold. Another question is, you know, can the ETF deliver? And I don't know. I haven't gotten into it. In fact, I have the information right here, but because I've been on the radio so much today, I haven't read it all yet.
Okay, Tony, and what was your other question?
Well, isn't this where the backwardation of prices comes in? Like, I believe there's currently a backwardation of about $1 on the silver market. Is this going to carry over into the gold market, too, maybe? Or, I mean, I don't really keep up on this backwardation that much.
Well, only usually technicians do. And so, so what's going to happen, I think, is that there will be backwardation in gold. And it's going to be very serious because they can't deliver.
It's going to be very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. The whole system is fraudulent, and one of these days the House of Cards comes down. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Bridge of Liberty. Well, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Anything else you wanted to ask there? I guess we lost Tony. So, Bob, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
If they do not have them, if some of these major banks begin to default, the whole House of Cards can keep coming down. Well, Bob, we'll have to wait until next week to get into this more, but look forward to talking to you next Monday for the afternoon, then the evening program. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome, and I'll be there.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Bob Chapman, and basically, what you're seeing is the demise of our monetary system, just pure and simple. It's a fraudulent monetary system based upon a fraudulent paper system, a house of cards built upon creating money out of nothing by the fraction reserve banking system. Now, to understand what's going on, you need to get my little pamphlet. It's inexpensive. It's called The History of Money. I have another little pamphlet called The Prophetic Warning. It's Andrew Jackson's farewell address in 1837 with my commentaries. It's about 50 pages long. And then, of course, you have my talk on the financial Armageddon, and they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You need to understand what's going on today if you've never read Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, talking about the origin of the fraudulent Federal Reserve System, the privately owned central bank that's given a few very wealthy people stranglehold over our economy and the destiny of our nation and the world. Why, of course, the book is available. We have the book, A Financial Meltdown and Financial Let's see, Roundup, I believe it is, both books by Thomas Wood. Rollback, Meltdown and Rollback, two books by Thomas Wood. We recommend them strongly. We carry the book Money Creators. It's written in 1935 by Gertrude Coogan. We think it's a very important book. Money Creators, you need to understand that they create money out of nothing. And then, of course, they have the audacity to charge us interest on it. But the whole world monetary system is on the verge of collapse. And when that happens, of course, why, of course, Social Security, Medicare, the pension funds, the banking system will, of course, lose value. The monetary system will lose value. The dollar may lose 10, 20, 50, 80% of its value. And the American people will be impoverished. But you see, we've lived a wonderful utopian life with money that didn't exist. It was just too good to be true. And it really was. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. But as we point out in our little pamphlet on the history of money, was back in 1888 when Edward Bellamy, in his book, Looking Backwards, talking about what the life would be like in the year 2000, he's writing in 1888, he talks about how a credit card in Europe will be just as good as gold. A credit card in Europe will be just as good as old gold. 1888, how did he know that we're going to have credit cards in the year 2000? In 1888, well, of course, there are powerful spiritual forces behind everything going on. And these people certainly have advanced knowledge. This is all planned out. You know, that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the real forces behind the scenes. And that's what people are not going to talk to you about. My book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, Ted Flynn's book, The Hope of the Wicked. The Hope of the Wicked. You need to get my talk on The Forbidden Secret, my talk on The Dark Secret, and the syllabuses go with those, because we will give you the writings of the Luciferians, what they say, not what I say, give you their plan, the Earth Charter, give you their writings, guiding of the spiritual hierarchy. There really is a spiritual hierarchy. The rule of the world, it's called the working of the spiritual hierarchy. And, of course, you'll learn there about who really runs the world, about the White Brotherhood. We'll be back in just a moment.
Let us all be grateful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I want to remind you, the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Jeffrey Seif, and we're going to be talking about his book, Making Our Peace with the Warriors of the Sands. Making Our Peace with the Warriors of the Sands, a fascinating book. I'll have to admit I've really enjoyed reading it. Dr. Seif, thank you so very much for being with us this time of evening.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I mean, it's certainly why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself? You are a Messianic Jew, aren't you? And you've actually attended theological seminaries, and certainly coming from a Jewish background, of course, you're talking about really the history of the Jews and the history of the Arabs. And I've learned so much, and I've been at this game for a long, long time, but you brought up things I had never thought of about the relationship between the Arabs and the Jews since biblical times.
Well, that's kind of you to say that. I mean that sincerely. Appreciate it. Yes, I'm from a Jewish background, came to faith, responded to a call to the ministry, went to seminary, and glad to put my two cents in on issues for anyone who's interested in hearing them.
Well, why is this important today? I know why it's very important, but I want you to tell our listeners why this is so very important today, that we understand the Muslim faith, the Muslim point of view.
Well, I think that a lot of us are frozen on our heels. Really know nothing about Islam. I know for me, Islam was the stuff of Disney animation, genies in bottles, flying carpets.
We're having a lot of interference. Are you on a hard line or a soft line?
No, I'm not anywhere near a hard line now. I have you on my cell.
All right, fine. Well, we'll just go ahead and hope we can get through. Go ahead.
With apologies. I think that we live in a world where people just don't know anything about Islam, about Muslims, about Arabs, or very, very little, and we're thrown on our heels in a post 9/11 world where we've been traumatized. And for those of us that are Bible believers and Israel supporters, and I appreciate everyone who's of that ilk, I think it's all too easy to disdain Arab peoples and think that by virtue of our so doing, we're pleasing God in some sense by giving some kind of credence to a race hatred. And that way of being just doesn't abide with me personally. I don't think it abides with Jesus.
Well, the thing that really disturbs me is that I'm very much afraid that there is an organized effort within the Christian community to get us to sort of preparing us to hate the Arabs. You know, they've got a different religion. They do a lot of terrible things. They mistreat people. They cut off people's hands and feet. It's a very ruthless religion in many respects, or at least the radical form of it. And I fear that we are being prepared for a war with the Muslim world. I'm studying this thing for probably longer than a lot of people have lived out there in the listening audience. I've been studying this for 49 years, and I'm firmly convinced we're being prepared for a war with the Muslim world. And everything is being done to get us to hate the Muslims, and everything's been done with the Muslims to get them to hate the Christians. And certainly they see our television, and they see the sexist way that women are treated, the degrading way that women are treated, and the degenerate morals of the West, and they believe, of course, that is what Christianity represents, which, of course, has nothing to do with Christianity. But my belief that this book is such an important thing to try to heal this division, which is an organized effort to create between the Christians and the Jews. And we'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Jeffrey Seif. Well, Dr. Seif, certainly you've done an excellent job of going back in the history, so many things that we've read in the Bible, but we never really stopped and thought about the relationship from the very beginning of the biblical story, at the time of Abraham, and the fact, that certainly his first son was born to an Egyptian woman, and as you point out, this interrelationship between the Arab and the Jewish races that has been there all throughout biblical times.
Well, thank you. I think when we look at it, really is a very fascinating story.
I do, too. And if you want to just cover some of the things there, the things that people have never forgotten and never even knew, or if they did know, they've forgotten. But time and again, you would talk about the relationship between the Arabs and Jews. In fact, I was really amazed to realize, of course, that the part of the lineage of Jesus, you know, going back to the time of Ruth, came through us at the... what was in Moabite? Ruth was a Moabite woman. I never even thought of that.
I wanted to explore in the book Common Grounds, because I think these provide good starting points with Arabs and with Muslim peoples. And there are a variety of examples where Arab peoples and Hebrew peoples interface very, very positively in the biblical narrative. For instance, you mentioned Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. She's the most famous woman in the Hebrew Bible. And what's interesting is the most famous woman in the Hebrew Bible wasn't even a Hebrew. It was a Moabitess. And if you look at Moab in antiquity, this is Jordan in modernity. She was, in effect, an Arab woman who joins herself to the people of Israel. And she is going to become, the great-grandmother of David and, of course, in the lineage of Jesus, an Arab woman. It fascinated me as well that Moses, never mind the most famous woman in the Hebrew Bible, if Moses is the most famous man, and certainly one of them, he himself leaves Egypt and marries a Midianite woman, we're told in the text, in Exodus. And Midian, in antiquity, this is northwest Saudi Arabia in modernity, an Arab woman, if you can imagine that, Moses no less. There's all kinds of examples in the biblical text where biblical noteworthies are interfacing with the peoples round about. And it's a fascinating story, it seems to me, that it represents that they are not game to discriminate. One more example in that regard.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with all of our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess, of course, this is Dr. Sefri Saif. And he basically was pointing out that probably the most famous woman in the Hebrew Bible, and of course, she is the lineage of David. She's the grandmother, great-great-grandmother of David, was actually not a Hebrew woman. She was a Moabite. And of course, suddenly it was Moses who actually marries a Mennonite. And so basically, there's so much intermarriage here, between the Hebrews and the various tribes, and of course many of them can be traced directly back to Ishmael. So you go ahead and pick up the story.
Yeah, we'll call it intermarriage, but there's an argument that these people are all cut from the same genetic cloth. For instance, today one wouldn't even call an Arab anti-Semitic, because Arabs are Semitic. We're, all descendants, if you will, of Abraham in some kind of biological sense. So they wouldn't have construed it as, in some sense, marrying out of the race. It's just different families within the same cluster, within the same people group.
I certainly agree with you, and I think you bring this fact out very, very clearly. All of the stories, going back to the very, very beginnings, starting with Abraham, and of course his wife's handmaiden is Hagar, and she's an Egyptian, and he has an affair with her, and of course out of that comes Ishmael, who's a product of the Jewish and the Egyptian. He's a part Jewish, he's part Egyptian. And then, of course, I didn't even realize that Abraham had a couple of other sons that certainly, unless you're a biblical scholar or read the Bible repeatedly or the Old Testament, he had other sons certainly by other wives as well as by Sarah.
Right. And there seems to have been concord within these children in the text. And there are blessings that are vouchsafed to them, and they're posterity and perpetuity. Harking back to just the Ishmael story, which fascinates me, in the biblical text it says that he shall be a wild man and his hand will be against his brethren and their hand against him. And individuals use that as a proof text to say, look at those wily Arab people. See, their unruliness is just amply attested in the biblical text. It seems at face value that there's a criticism of this wild boy whose hand will be against his brethren, etc. However, I think a more careful scrutiny of the text gives something of a different story. That is, here's his mother Hagar, who's a domestic worker, who's pawned off by Sarah at her behest on some man who is a very, very old man at the time, I'm sure not the love of her life. And here's a woman who's forever being acted upon by forces that are more strong than she. She's told that her son will be a winner. Her son will not be pushed around, but he will be strong in his own right. That's what the literature says about him. And then we're told of him that he will be a prince, that princes will come forth from him. It seems to me that the Bible is giving a positive vision for this boy. And I think that's a story that's worth telling. If I was an Arab person and I was exposed to the gospel and exposed to biblical literature, I wouldn't want to think for a moment that somehow I'm a child of a lesser god, of some condemned, jaded genetic stock. No, for me, I'd want to see and I'd appreciate seeing, wait a minute, the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible makes room for me and values me and sees me in God's prophetic plan.
And, Chris, that really is the thrust of your book. I mean, how then can we as Christians deal with Muslims? I mean, should we hate them? Should we ostracize them? Should we try to tell them they have to believe as we believe? Or how can you actually get them perhaps to want to inquire into this story of the Bible? Because, of course, the only way on the solution to the problem between the Arab and the Jew is to bring them into a personal relationship, all into a personal, or as many as we can, into a personal relationship with our Lord. And you bring that point out so vividly, and I thought it was so interesting that you suggested that if you could just get them to watch a couple of movies like the Jesus film, and certainly I thought that your choice of Mel Gibson's film, and certainly the Passion of Mel Gibson's film on the Crucifixion of Christ, that those two would have an impact on a Muslim who saw them. I thought that was a very interesting observation because they're both very powerful films, and we need some way to counter all the other propaganda, the false propaganda that Arabs have as to what Christianity is all about.
Well, thank you again for the kudos on the book. I think, first, even if we construe that somehow Muslim peoples are our enemies, I think if I understand Jesus correctly, we're supposed to find ways to build bridges to our enemies. We have other things to do besides to hate them. Now, if someone commits criminal acts, we deal with it at that level. And let me say in that regard that I am a graduate of the police academy, have a career as a police officer and a detective. I've pulled a gun out before. I'll deal with criminals because they're criminals. But I don't want to just categorically just condemn an entire people group or even a religion. That's not the way we do business in the United States of America. We have a community here where people are entitled to practice any religion or no religion. And it's my understanding that Christians do well to stay their hand. We're not allowed to hate anybody. If we think Arab Muslims are dangerous, let's remember that white European males have killed about 100 million people in the last 100 years, if we consider the Hitlers of the world, the Lenins, the Stalins, and all the rest. We have plenty of blood on our hands, too. It's overly simplistic to say, oh, we're all civilized, but those people over there, by golly, there's something really terribly wrong with them. There are problems, to be sure, but my sense is that there's only a small percentage, really, of Muslim peoples that are minded to want to mobilize and throw themselves in some kind of jihad against Western civilization. The only empirical study that was ever done with some 1 million field interviews turned out maybe 7% in the Islamic world would say yes to some kind of jihad, but most of them are more prone to kind of be cheerleaders for those that go on the quest rather themselves wanting to pick up a gun or put some kind of bomb belt around their waist. It seems to me that there is this radicalized edge, but I don't know the extent to which they have the capability to throw off Western civilization or overturn culture. I don't see that being the case.
Well, I thought it was very interesting that your comment about how you know, how the gospel is really spreading in the Muslim world. And we've certainly heard that from a minister who has a television ministry to Iran. Apparently, they've been very, very successful there. And one of my friends was a missionary to Kurdistan, and they were able to reach many, many people there. In fact, many of the Kurdish upper class would send their children to a Christian school because they wanted them to get a good education. They'd get a better education in the Christian school, and of course they'd sneak in a Christian message. But I thought one of the most interesting observations you made was the fact that the many Muslims are actually having a supernatural experience that's caused them to convert to Christianity. And basically, I mean, I've heard this from Jewish people as well. I mean, I don't think many Americans, I'm talking about white, typical Anglo-Saxon, Americans like myself, have had a supernatural experience that's introduced them to our Lord. But apparently a fair number of Jews and a fair number of Arabs have already had these supernatural experiences. And have you actually heard these stories from them?
Yes, and let me tell you something of the source, too. You mentioned education and Western education. I did my doctoral degree under a fellow out of Oxford University. He was my advisor in my dissertation. I remember him sitting down with me, and he's talking about a friend of his who is out of Cambridge University, who frequents the Arab-Muslim world as something of an evangelist. And he sat down, he says, "Jeffrey, signs and wonders. I'm just hearing reports left and right of these supernatural kind of visitations." So I understand myself to be more of an intellectual, as a Bible college seminary professor kind of fellow, as opposed to a healing evangelist. And certainly my mentor, similarly, is out of Oxford University. We're not talking about just, we're talking about credible theologues, and, you know, I've heard it from academic circles, signs and wonders, and even beyond that, in popular media, the Lord just doing things to get into the hearts and minds, and there's something of a revival that's being garnered as individuals from the Arab-Muslim world are coming to faith in Jesus. He loves these people, and he wants them to know him, and I personally, and I know you do as well, everybody with just a little bit of Holy Spirit in them wants to be on the side of reaching out to people in Jesus' name and bringing them in and to help them discover how they're loved and valued by believers in Jesus, and they're loved and valued in the biblical text.
Well, I think that was the strength of the message of your book, that you were actually, of course, rather than advocating what so many people are today, that the Muslim is our enemy, and certainly we're going into a confrontation with them, is that as Christians, we are supposed to figure out how to win them to our position, but the violence is certainly not going to solve anything. In fact, it's only going to increase the barrier between the Christian and the Muslim. There is an organized effort, ladies and gentlemen, to get Christians to hate Muslims and Muslims to hate Christians. This is a very well coordinated. As a talk show host, I see evidence of it all the time, and I caution against this. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Dr. Jeffrey Seif and his book, Making Our Peace with the Warriors of the Sand, understanding that the relationship of the Arab and the Jew and all of these very subdivisions of the Arab world, and the fascinating information, things I had never thought of or never thought of in many years. If you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, are you still in the process?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
How can we possibly get these two dissident groups to work together? Well, of course, as Dr. Scythe points out, they're not so different. In fact, they've been joined together many, many times. In fact, they come from a common parentage. And until people understand that, why, of course, if you have no place to start, but there's so much history here, that as in the I had never thought, nobody's pointed it out before, it's a very, very unique book. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you are out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, I think it's an excellent time to ask ask Dr. Seif, for his views on this, because I think that the information here is vitally important. Things that you probably never thought about, things that I hadn't thought about or thought about in many, many years. And, of course, it's a wonderful review of the relationship between the Arabs and the Jews, the common origin, and certainly how they've worked together and how they've lived together in peace, and certainly going back to the time when, of course, the original temple was built there by Solomon, and how it was the king of Tyre, Hiram, who actually provided the workmen and provided the cedars of Lebanon that were to be used to build the original Jewish temple there on the Temple Mount. So much history. It must have been really a challenge for you to write the book.
Well, it was a challenge because it's just so new. I mean, it's when I looked at the biblical text and I said, what's positive in here? Because whatever's positive in here can be stepping stones to positive conversations. And, I was just kind of struck by the question more than my answers. And, as I was looking for positive narrative, to me, I was overwhelmed by how much there really was.
Well, I think that, it's absolutely true. And there was just so much information in here that It's a wonderful review of the testimony of the Old Testament and the stories that come from there. I mean, who it was that when Elijah, of course, was fleeing and was told to, you know, to flee, and God took him, get him away from the king and wanted to kill him. And of course, was it a Moabite woman who took him in? Or, I mean, it's something he lives with this widow. But she's an Arab woman, and she cares for him until eventually he's able to go back and fulfill God's teaching.
Right.
And so often, you know, when the prophets or the Jewish people are in trouble, why God sends them to an Arab to help them?
When David was running for his life, he took his family and dropped them off with the king of Moab, who gave him quarter without question, probably because he knew that David himself was descended from a Moabitess, Ruth. I mean, there's some blood connection there. Beyond that, Judaism, certain rabbis allege within Judaism that David's mother was a Moabitess, an Arab, not just the great-grandmother Ruth. And that is construed as the reason why when the prophet comes to David's house and Jesse's house in the Samuel text, the father doesn't think David is worthy to be considered as of some future king of Israel. Why? Because it's alleged that he's a love child from an illicit relationship with an Arab woman. And that's how they construe where in Psalms David says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." It's believed that David himself may well have been of some illegitimate ilk and of a Moabite stock at that himself, if you can imagine that. Fascinating.
Well, I think the most interesting thing is that some of the lineage of Jesus himself was not strictly Jewish, and I'd never even thought of that. But certainly the fact that there's no question that Ruth, who was his great 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 grandmother, something like that. I don't know how many greats there were there, but that she had actually come. She was herself a Moabite. She was not Jewish. And these are things that we never actually think of. And of course, this was then the lineage of David, and was the lineage there of Jesus, because Jesus came from the lineage of David. Parts of Jewish history that, we never talk about in our churches, and yet I've learned a lot from your book, I will have to admit. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And so, our guest is Dr. Jeffrey Seif, his book, Making Our Peace with the Warriors of the Sand. Why is this book important? And as I say, I'm very, very concerned, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard me say this before, but you're going to hear me say this many times again, that there's an organized effort to get us here in America to really to hate the Arabs. I really fear that we are being set up for a war with the Muslim world. I think what's going on over in the Middle East today is carefully coordinated. I do not for one minute believe there are spontaneous demonstrations all over the Muslim world, and we'll be back in just a moment here.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free.
Oh, Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Jeffrey Seif. We're talking about his book, Making Our Peace with the Warriors of the Sand. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment on this subject, it's something that is certainly not commonly talked about. And yet, of course, this is a very informative book. Now, how can people get copies of your book? And certainly, do you have a website that you'd like to get out?
Well, they can get a copy just ordering on Amazon.com. Just Google the book, Jeffrey Seif, S-E-I-F. People can contact me. I have worked for years in nationally syndicated television. There was a Messianic Jewish fellow, Zola Levitt, who was in television for years, who died, and I was asked to step up and do that. People would contact Zola Levitt Ministries on the web, and they can find me there, get an email to me, and that could be a way to do it.
Now, are you going over and making the television programs like Zola used to?
Yes, I have been for 5 years. In fact, last week, however, I tendered a resignation about 5 or 6 weeks ago, which just came into effect last week, for me to pursue educational endeavors for now. I kind of stepped back from that, but for the last 5 years, I was the guy. If people watch Zola Levitt Presents, if Zola hasn't been presenting, he went to be with the Lord. It has been, Zola Levitt Presents, Jeffrey Seif.
Well, because that was a wonderful, wonderful program, and certainly helped a lot of people to actually analyze the Holy Land and to see it from the historical perspective. We've been there half a dozen times, and really what a thrilling opportunity it is to go over there, simply as a tourist, and if you get people who will take you to some of the really important things, to see the story of the Bible really come alive.
Yes, well, they say that one trip to Israel is worth a year of seminary. And if people want to, I take a trip every year. And like you said, you've been there many times. People can contact me. I'll give an email if you'd like. And if someone wants to write me, I'd be happy to get back to them and let them know.
Sure, you go right ahead, Cynthia.
Okay, it would be J-S-E-I-F, J Seif, and then P, like Patty, S-E-I-F, at AOL.com. If someone wanted to contact me direct, I could get them, a brochure in the mail to them, or get them to a website, and they could find out about trips.
Give that email one more time, would you please?
Oh, sure, it's jseifpseif at AOL.com.
All right, fine. You take a trip over there every time, and suddenly, how long a trip is it?
Well, I've been there from, 21 days to 10 days, but I'm leaving this year right after Christmas. I'm taking a group on the 28th for 10 days, and I think it's a great way to start a new year, and, it's great to get over there in the holiday season. So, when I take people over there, people want to go walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and they want to look at these ancient sites. But what I like to do as well is take individuals to see those sites and let individuals see where the Lord is moving, and take people to congregations where they can see the Messianic Jewish experience, how the gospel is touching down amongst Jewish people today. And not only that, I like to take people to see Arab Christians. There's a church there in Bethlehem, the Bethlehem Baptist Church. Dr. Nahum Curry is the pastor. A friend of mine, Rosemary Schindler of the Oscar Schindler's List family, said to me once, she says, "You need to come and meet this guy," and she personally introduced me to him. This was a guy, he's an Arab Christian in Bethlehem. His church has been firebombed 14 times. He's been shot because what it is he believes in both testaments, and as much as he advocates for Jesus, he also talks in the West Bank about God's love for Jewish people and Israel. That's a very dangerous position. I like to take people to Israel to see the old sites, but I like them to see Jesus' hands and feet in work of the world today amongst Jews and Arabs.
Well, Sidney, as you point out, Sidney, this is a very unpopular thing if you are an Arab Christian. Sidney, it must be very, very difficult. I know years past when we went to Israel, Bethlehem was a Christian community. It was Arab Christian. Apparently, most of the shop owners there have simply been forced to leave. I mean, they threatened their lives and simply bought them all out. And, and in so doing, pretty well destroyed the economy of Bethlehem. Is there much of any economy there today?
Well, it's coming back happily, but as you've said, Bethlehem was a famous Christian town, a city made famous because of the birthplace of Jesus. But the Christian population has been fleeing out of Bethlehem ever since it was annexed as a, quote, Palestinian holding, with the net result maybe there's 12 or 15% of the population that's Christian. And these people are just fleeing because they get discriminated against, and they want to send their children to other places to build a better life. Now that it's starting to flourish happily, where people have realized in Bethlehem, you know, Arab people, Arab Muslim peoples have realized, listen, we need to work together a little better here because we want Christians to come and visit the city of Jesus' birth because we all benefit when they come. There's no terrorism in Bethlehem, none. You know, all the Arab Muslims there, they work in the hotel industries and the food industries. They work in the olive wood factories. And what happens is, you know, if they make problems for Christian tourists, then everyone in the world hears it and they don't come. And it takes months and years to rebound from that. So over there, the word is leave the Christian tourists alone. And because we all benefit, Jews and Arabs alike, when they come. And I personally like to take people into Bethlehem and take them to some of these Arab Christian shops and spread some of the money around there and to the restaurants and the like to help save the city of Jesus' birth.
Well, you know, I've heard about some actual polls taken of the Muslim, Arab Muslims, and, you know, whether they would rather live under the Israeli government or under the Palestinian government, and the vast majority of them, it seemed to be, would rather live under the Israeli government because they did so much better, you know, economically. They got free health care. They got so many benefits. Living in under the Israeli government did far better off than they did living under the Palestinian government, and these were, of course, Palestinian Arab Muslims. So, I mean, it's an amazing paradox you have where people you know, put their self-interest, which they should do, you know, ahead of everything else. And certainly they want a peaceful situation for themselves and their families. They want prosperity. They want a better life. And they know they're going to get it living under the Israelis far more than that, under the Palestinian. We live in a world sometimes, I think, gone mad. Other times I'm absolutely certain. We live in a world gone mad.
Well, it's true. I like to take people to Arab towns there where they can see the prosperity, the success in life that they have. Most people think, oh, the Jews, they've just molested all the Arabs and thrown them into refugee camps. That is absolute fantasy. There's well over a million, you know, Arab Muslims over there, the citizens of Israel. The standard of living there is so much greater than anywhere else in the Arab world. Better education, better health care, better homes, and they all know it. The problem is, if they give voice to that sort of thing, the radical fringe there gets upset, and people know they can lose their heads literally. So mum's the word, and you know, everybody has to go, you know, shake their fists at the Israelis. While they know, truth be known, they get a much better deal with the Jews than they do with their own. Oh, goodness, if you just look at Israel as a nation state, and if you take fossil fuels out of the equation, the gross national product in Israel's economy is greater than all the Arab Muslim countries round about it combined. And those that live in Israel fare much, much, much better, in no uncertain terms.
Well, I think this is what's interesting now. Apparently, there is natural gas off the coast of Israel, and that will certainly be a tremendous boost for them. They won't be dependent upon, certainly the Arab countries for at least their natural gas. That'll be a tremendous increase in their income, and of course, you need, of course, some sort of a carbon fuel. I know they have their certainly nuclear power plant, but you need either natural gas or oil or coal to generate electricity. Without power, you can't have a highly industrialized society.
That is true, and people are excited there about the gas and the oil finds out in Israeli territorial waters. They still got to go get it and bring it in, but Israel's rolling out electric cars. They're at the forefront of that. You know, Israel is a fascinating place. People are very, very, very entrepreneurial. And the high-tech industry, the number of patents that are posted in Israel is greater than anywhere else in the world. Entrepreneurial spirits, inquiring minds, creative sorts, really, you know, getting about the business of living and learning and growing and developing, and absolutely fascinating.
It really is, and certainly we have some wonderful DVDs on this subject which are available through our ministry, and certainly we encourage people to understand that God has a purpose in everything going on today. You know, if we think things just happen by accident, why, of course, you can't understand so much of what's going on. But Israel, in many respects, is sort of the key to almost everything going on in the world today. And here you have this little tiny country sitting over there on the east coast of the Mediterranean, and yet so much of what's going on in the world is concerned with Israel. And of course, my concern is that there could be an explosive situation over there, and the last thing we want for the Arabs or for the Israelis would be another major conflict in that region. My fear is it's coming, but of course this is not to the advantage of the Israelis, certainly not to the advantage of the Arabs, and certainly not to the advantage of our nation.
Yeah, I agree.
So basically, is there anything else that you'd like to cover here that you think that we need to cover this evening?
Well, let me just underscore with you the imperative to reach out to people, and that's what I'm endeavoring to do. When I wrote Making Our Peace with the Warriors of the Sand, it was part of, there were three books that I wrote. That was the third. The first of which I called The Iranian Menace in Jewish History and Prophecy, and there I was game to look at eschatological fervor in Iran and the Battle of Armageddon, how the Euphrates River dries up and these forces are marshaled into the region for this great cataclysm, and you know, Iran seems to want to position herself for that. I wrote another book called Guns and Moses, where I looked at the legitimacy of using force to protect her own interests. And I'm thinking, in part, should Israel be forced to engage in a preemptive strike? Or I wanted to make clear that to use force to defend home and her does not offend biblical religion. But then thirdly, what I wanted to do was note as well that the preferred posture for all of us always is to endeavor to build bridges. And with that in mind, what I wanted to do is look at what was positive. What do you have to work with? It seems to me that if someone needs reconstructive surgery on the face, let's say there's a bad car accident, there's a fire, there's a lot of burns, you scrape away whatever dead skin is there, but you have to ask the question, if you're going to rebuild, what's strong, what's solid, what can I build on here if there's going to be any reconstruction? And with that question in mind, I wanted to look at what is positive in the biblical witness that can begin to stimulate conversation with our Arab friends. And the book Making Our Peace with the Warriors of the Sand spends a considerable amount of time working on that question.
And I thought you could, some of your comments there towards the end of the book, we basically were talking about, I said, don't try to be judgmental, and certainly don't try to talk down to them, but to befriend them. But try to just to give them a narrative so they would understand what Christianity certainly really stands for. Unfortunately, so many of the people in the Muslim world today watch American television, and they think that has something to do with America, and America is a Christian nation. I think that the modern television certainly demeans Christianity at every turn.
Yes, and, you know, people have misinformation about Christians, and that's why people need to have contact with positive Christian witnesses, and I'm hoping that the book can help contribute toward being a positive witness for Jesus.
Well, I think it really does, and I want to congratulate you so much for writing the book. Thank you so very much. I think it's well worthwhile. Our guest, of course, has been Dr. Jeffrey Seif, and, of course, it's co-written by Dr. E.F. Greece, G-R-I-E-S-S, who apparently is a Coptic Christian from Egypt. And, Chris, I really feel that the Coptics are under real pressure today now that the Mubarak regime has been overthrown, and my concern is that we will end up with a nation there under Sharia law, under the radical law of the Muslim Brotherhood, exactly as we've imposed upon Iraq and Afghanistan, which really doesn't make any sense. We could have imposed any sort of a constitution we wanted there. We were really in charge there. It was our military organizations which were sponsoring the constitutional conventions. And what did we do? We established governments under Sharia law, where, of course, the Christians would be discriminated against, which is why the Christians are fleeing from Iraq and fleeing from Afghanistan. And my fear, of course, similar things are going to happen in Egypt. I don't know about Tunisia, the Christian population, but what is it, about 10% of the Egyptian population is a Coptic Christian?
I'm not sure, 10, 7%. I wish you had Dr. Greece on here to answer that question. But it's a small, embattled minority.
And they've been like 2,000 years. You know, that's amazing.
Yes. They have a great history in Egypt, and they are getting the daylight beat out of them. And the Muslim hordes will attack them with brazen disregard for them. And the state just looks the other way. In fact, I met Ehab when he came to the States. He wanted to study. He had a bachelor's degree, but he was a student of mine. And he then subsequently went on to get an MA at Regent University and then a PhD at Southern Seminary in Louisville, a Southern Baptist school. But he told me, he said that there's just no way they don't let Christians get a higher education in Egypt. And there are so many ways that Christians are discriminated against. And as you alluded to, now there's questions of what's going to happen to them in Egypt. You know, the world is thrown up, and people don't know how the dust's going to settle. Israel is watching Egypt carefully. Ehab is in Egypt right now. I spoke to him on the Internet. You know, we sent some emails back and forth. He's trying to help make sense of it. But we need to pray for Egypt. Christians there. Horrible.
Well, I'm afraid that when you look and see what's going on over in that part of the world, it's pretty hard to make any sense of it, and because there's so much organized effort, so much confusion, so many contradictory things are being put out. And, of course, my concern is that, doing talk radio, I realize that so much of what we're seeing through the regular media is not accurate, and certainly even in alternative media, which we represent, there's a organized effort for confusion, but hopefully you'll know who you can trust and learn your sources and then try to just simply turn your back or simply see through the organized effort to confuse us. I'm sure it must be confusing over there. It's even more confusing here. Well, I wanted to thank you so very much for being with us, Dr. Seif, and really appreciate you writing the book, really appreciate your message, and of course Christianity should be trying to offer a hand of friendship.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure being with you.
God bless. Good night.
God bless you, Peter.
Bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Dr. Jeffrey Seif, and this really is a very, very...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades.
All the bad things in the Muslim faith and the terrorism and the Islamic Jihad and the bombers and all of the things we can point to. But to the average Muslim who simply wants to live and live his life, but he has a different worldview. Because he has a different view of God.